Live from NPR News, I'm Jack Spear. More evacuations today as a massive wildfire moves through California's Sierra National Forest. The huge fire is just one of dozens of blazes fire crews are battling in the state, which is dealing with high heat at the same time. David Baldwin is the adjunct general of the 23,000-strong California National Guard. He says some of his personnel are helping out.
There's 25 large incidents throughout the state, and there just isn't enough professional firefighters to go around, so they've been calling in the Guard.
Fire officials say they're hoping to keep the fire northeast of Fresno from pushing west into towns along State Route 41 and possibly into Yosemite National Park. The Georgia prosecutor, who is being investigated by federal authorities over her handling of the Ahmaud Arbery case, will face a challenger at the polls this November. From member station WABE in Atlanta, Lily Oppenheimer has more.
Independent Keith Higgins has qualified to run for the Brunswick Judicial Circuit seat against incumbent Republican Jackie Johnson. Johnson has been criticized for the more than 2 months that passed before any arrests were made in Arbery's shooting death. Arbery was shot and killed in February by a white father and son, Gregory and Travis McMichael. A neighbor, William Roddy Bryan, joined the McMichaels in pursuit of Arbery and recorded cell phone video of the shooting. Gregory McMichael had been a longtime investigator for Johnson's office. Johnson recused herself from the case and has denied any wrongdoing. All three men have been charged with felony murder and aggravated assault. For NPR News, I'm Lily Oppenheimer in Atlanta.
An analysis of the absentee voting process by the Associated Press finds the number of ballots that could go uncounted this year in some key battleground states could be up to three times higher than during the last presidential election in 2016. Ballots typically go uncounted because they either arrive at election offices too late or voters sometimes forget to sign them. China is withholding the renewal of press credentials for journalists at some U.S. news media outlets, including The Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, and CNN. NPR's John Ruwitz reports the measure comes as a group of Chinese journalists in the U.S. wait for their lapsed visas to be renewed.
The Foreign Correspondents Club of China says at least five journalists working for American news outlets have been affected. China's foreign ministry has issued them letters in lieu of press cards, forcing them into what the FCC calls a precarious temporary status. Foreign reporters in China must have ministry-issued press cards to get residence permits that allow them to live and work in China. The move is the latest in a string of tit-for-tat measures between Beijing and Washington. On Twitter, a Chinese foreign ministry spokeswoman said cooperation with U.S. journalists could continue if Chinese journalists are treated fairly in the United States. John Ruwitz, NPR News.
U.S. financial markets are closed for the Labor Day holiday today, though stocks in overseas trading notched some strong gains. All the major European indices were higher today. You're listening to NPR. An unsung hero of jazz has died. Gary Peacock played bass, one of the rhythm instruments usually consigned to supporting the star's soloist. But NPR's Tom Cole reports Peacock was an integral part of jazz history from the 1950s until his death Friday at the age of 85.
Gary Peacock was part of some of the earliest experiments in combining jazz with Brazilian music in the late 1950s. From there, Peacock continued to push boundaries with Albert Eiler, Ravi Shankar, and with pianist Keith Jarrett, beginning with Peacock's 1977 debut as a leader. Throughout it all was an intimate connection with his instrument, as he told NPR in 2015.
When the finger comes down on the strings, this is a sensation that goes up to the brain throughout the whole body.
Gary Peacock carried that connection into nearly a dozen albums of his own. Tom Cole, NPR News.
German automaker Volkswagen is downplaying speculation that as part of its push for mass production of electric vehicles, it's seeking to develop deeper ties with Tesla. VW chief executive Herbert Diess saying while he met with Tesla CEO Elon Musk during a recent visit to Volkswagen, there's no deal in the making. VW, the world's largest automaker, has announced recent partnerships with some other car companies. Car companies have been doing joint production deals as part of an effort to defray the high cost of developing new electric vehicles for the global marketplace on their own. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News.